My dear Lord Nrisimhadeva, I see that there are many saintly persons indeed, but they are interested only in their own deliverance. Not caring for big cities and towns, they go to the Himalayas or the forest to meditate with vows of silence. They're not interested in delivering others. As for me, however, I do not wish to be liberated alone, leaving aside all these poor fools and rascals. I know that without Krishna consciousness, without taking shelter of your lotus feet, one cannot be happy. Therefore, I wish to bring them back to the shelter of your lotus feet. Prahlad Maharaj is one of our, or everyone's hero in Krishna consciousness. Because he was successful in Krishna consciousness. Not only successful, but he was glorious in his devotional service to his spiritual master and Krishna. A devotee doesn't just want to be successful in Krishna consciousness and graduate from this material world and go back home, back to Godhead. The real essence of a devotee's heart is to always be glorifying Guru and Gauranga. To praise the glories of his spiritual master and the predecessor acharyas, and to always be glorifying and advertising widely, publicly, on a worldwide scale, the glories of Sisi Radha and Krishna. So Prahlad Maharaj is our hero in that sense, that he was successful himself in Krishna consciousness. We shouldn't take that lightly. It's not, frankly, it's not easy to be successful in Krishna consciousness. Krishna states, he analyzes our quote-unquote our opposition, the maya. He says, maya dakshena prakriti suyute sacharataram, that this divine energy of mine consisting of the three modes of material nature is very difficult to overcome. And elsewhere he says, Daivyesha guna, excuse me, he says, Vasudeva Sarvamiti, Samahatma Sadurlabaha, after many, many births, one who is in full knowledge surrenders, Atmanivedanam, full surrender to me. Traditional Gaudiya wisdom, they say it in India. I haven't seen it in Shastra, but amongst the Gaudiya circles, it is said one lifetime in sadhana, next lifetime in spontaneous devotional service, third lifetime pure devotional service, then fourth lifetime you go to that planet where the Lord is performing his pastimes in the universe that you're living, then when you're trained up in a specific service, then back home, back to Godhead.
Только будучи обученным в том месте, в пятой жизни, он возвращается домой.
But that, of course, is only applicable if you're successful in sadhana bhakti, or the practice, the basic practice of the rules and regulations of Krishna consciousness, which bring us to the stage of bhava, or spontaneous devotional service, in one lifetime. That in itself is a great challenge. Sadhana bhakti actually brings us to the stage of anarthanivriti, which means purifying the heart of all unwanted things, like lust and anger and greed, etc. So, some of you are one quarter of the way through your life, some of you are halfway through your life, some of you are at the fag end of life. Have you come to the stage of anarthanivriti? Have you perfected sadhana bhakti so that the next lifetime you can take birth as Raghunuga? Practice Raghunuga bhakti? Or will it be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 births as a sadhaka, and then the next stage, bhava, and then prema? We wouldn't like to think of it like that. Prabhupada once referred to this material world as a very nasty place. One time a very enthusiastic disciple, he said to Śrīla Prabhupāda, I love this service I'm doing so much, this book distribution, that I'd like to come back birth after birth and serve you by distributing your books. And Prabhupada's eyes got very big. He looked at him very surprised. He said, no, don't come back. It's a very terrible place, this material world. It's Kali Yuga, he said, actually. So of course the sentiment is very nice that I want to surrender and serve my spiritual masters, life after life. That's a very nice sentiment. But the spiritual master's expressed desire is that he wants his disciple to go back to the spiritual world and engage in nitya seva, eternal service to the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. Actually, at the moment of initiation, there's a sort of transcendental contract between the spiritual master and the disciple. From their part, the disciple promises, my dear Guru Maharaj, I will follow the four regulative principles, I'll chant my 16 rounds, I'll study Prabhupada's books, I'll render some service. And the spiritual master, his part, you could say, of the transcendental contract is that he has to deliver his disciple all the way back home, back to Godhead.
обещание учению Гуру, что он сделает все возможное, чтобы вернуть его домой назад к Богу в этой жизни.
That's a veritable burden of love.
Это буквально обозначает, что духовная жизнь принимает на себя бремя любви.
So although it's nice, we have the sentiment, we want to serve our spiritual master. Haitiki apateata. Even I'll take birth again. Prabhupada said, no, this Kali Yuga is so bad, you should go back in this lifetime. So to do that, in order to do that, you have to become freed from all unwanted qualities in the heart, and you have to awaken your love for God in your heart as well. But time is short. Again, how far are we on the path? We're 25 years old, or 50 years old, or 75, we're one quarter, one half, you know, three quarters of the way finished with life. How far are we on the path of sadhana bhakti? I know when I was in high school, I was engaged in competitive swimming. And my particular race, which I was doing, was the 200 meter freestyle. It's a long time ago, but I think it meant 16 laps. 16.
You were 16.
I think, yeah, the race was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 16 laps. Are any of you swimmers? The 200 meter freestyle. Anyway, I think it was 16. 8 or 16. It is 16. So, we would be swimming, you know, the gun would go off and we'd jump in the water, and you know, you're concentrating on the swimming. You're pacing yourself, but you're going as strong as possible. And you know, as you're going, then you come back to you do one lap and you come back, and then they would put a little card in the water so you could see lap 2, then you come back lap 4, then you'd be at lap 6 and 8. And you would gauge yourself like that. You're putting a lot of effort into it, but sometimes you're so much effort you'd forget where you were, which lap you'd be counting in your mind. But you know, in the intensity of the heat and the race, you might forget. So it was very good to have that card there. Oh, 6, okay, 8, 10, 12, 14, only 2 more. So just imagine if you're putting in so much effort and you know you're three quarters the way through the race and you come back and it says, you know, you've only done 2 laps. What? Or you've only done 4 laps. What? You've actually done like 12 or 14, but the little card says only 2. After all that effort, I'm only getting the credit for 2 laps? That would be very discouraging. You might even be depressing. You might even get out of the water and quit. So in the same way, imagine you've been practicing Krishna consciousness for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, and you look at the gauge, dosh, radha, tata, sadhu, sangha, tabhajana, kriya, anarta, nirviti, siyat. How far am I? Baba, I'm still trying to chant 16 rounds a day. I'm still struggling with following the regular principles. I hardly ever read. I'm only going to get credit for 2 laps after 50 years. Hey, I've only accomplished, I've only accomplished what, you know, a 20-year-old may have done in Krishna consciousness. What's going on? Hell, Krishna Pamagi. It's almost too late. Just like sometimes you hear how old men, they get married. Kali Yuga is so topsy-turvy. You hear sometimes a person marrying, you know, he's 70 or he's 75 and he's marrying his third or fourth wife. Wait a minute, marriage is around, you know, between 18 years and 30 years, that's when people get married. You don't, that's something you do at that age. You don't do that kind of stuff at 75 or 80. Just like the Bible says, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to laugh, a time to cry. Na, 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 na. There was a song when I was a kid, so there's a time and a place for everything. Prahlad Maharaj has taught us that Krishna consciousness ideally begins at the tender age of 5. Of course, a lot of us didn't come at 5, we're coming at 25 or 35, but that's okay, there's a concession made in Kali Yuga. But if we practice sincerely, if we're rigorous in our performance of chanting Hare Krishna, following the principles, associating with devotees, studying the shastras, rendering service, we should see ourselves making progressive advancement. And if you see that the preparation is cooking a little slowly, then turn up the fire. How many of you are cooks? Matajis. You know, the preparation's cooking, it's a little slow, your guests are supposed to come in a half an hour. What's the secret? You You turn up the gas a little, turn up the electricity, and stir it so it doesn't burn. And you turn up the fire and it cooks quicker. It shouldn't be that as we get older in Krishna consciousness, we become less active. No. As we become older in Krishna consciousness, we become more active in those particular activities which help us progress in devotional service. It shouldn't be that we are chanting more when we join the movement and we're chanting less as the years go on. No. It should be, we should be chanting more and more. I actually have 4 or 5 godbrothers who I can name, but they'll be embarrassed if I do, who chant 64 rounds every day despite their great managerial duties and services as sannyasis or gurus in ISKCON. 64 rounds a day. So it's possible, and Prahlad Maharaj, again, is our hero because he demonstrated that even as a young boy, he had perfected Krishna consciousness. Just to give us some impetus, he reached the perfected stage at 5 years old. That should give us some hope. At 5 years old, he was already a pure devotee. Of course, in some ways, he got a head start over many of us. He was practicing Krishna consciousness in the womb. Wait a minute, there's no reference to Prahlad Maharaj cooking an offering for the deities in the womb. There's no reference to Prahlad Maharaj traveling to holy places in the womb. There's no reference to Prahlad Maharaj taking his japa mala and chanting his rites. So what was his devotional service in the womb? Shravanam kirtanam Vishnu shmaranam padasevanam archanam bandham dasyam sakyam atmanivedanam. It was one of those 9. What is the first one? Shravanam. He was hearing. Just like you're doing right now. You may think, I'm hearing now so that I can go perform devotional service. I'm learning about devotional service now so that I can perform devotional service later. No. This is devotional service. This is one of the 9 angas or limbs of devotional service you're doing right now. In fact, this is one of the more potent angas of devotional service, to sit and hear Harikatha.
Слушание Харикатхи.
Krishna stresses the importance of this hearing process with two very important words in Bhagavad Gita.
Krishna подчеркивает важность слушания двумя особыми словами из Бхагавад Гиты.
It is said that elegance is truth spoken concisely. Instead of a long-winded discourse, the speaker can summarize it in 10 very potent minutes. This is often recommended because attention span is short.
Вместо того, чтобы пускаться в длинное пространное объяснение, выступающий может за 10 минут рассказать самую суть того, о чем идет речь, потому что особенно в наше время внимание люди могут сосредоточиться на очень короткий срок.
So Krishna says to Arjuna, "Touch renew." Hey, Arjuna, listen to this message that I am speaking. Touch renew. Listen.
The
mind has a tendency to wander. So touch renew, just like my mother used to say. Son, I'm speaking to you. Listen. Listen to me, I'm speaking to you. She would chastise me. Oh, no, 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 I'm looking around. I want to go play baseball. Listen, I'm speaking to you. So Krishna's like that. Touch renew. This message is so important. There's so little time. Listen. I'm speaking to you. And when Srila Bhaktisananda Saraswati, don't even worry about it. Bhaktisananda Saraswati Thakur was considering our spiritual master Srila Prabhupada as a candidate for initiation. He said, "Yes, I'll accept this young man. He hears nicely." So Prahlad Maharaj got a head start because he was hearing about Krishna consciousness from his spiritual master in the womb of his mother. Even before he took birth, he was hearing this science. And you can say, yes, but he's just an embryo, and what can he understand? An embryo understand? Even I'm 25 years old, I can hardly understand the philosophy. What's an embryo going to understand? No, but it's Shabda Brahma, it's transcendental sound. It enters into the ear, as Gopi Parandana Prabhu said, yes, it enters into the ear, and it goes to the heart, and it cleanses, the sound cleanses. It's like medicine. When you take medicine, do you know how the medicine's working? No, you just have faith in the prescription and faith in the doctor, and you take it religiously, quote unquote, and it acts to cure you of your disease. That means even if we don't have a taste for Hari Katha, we still come and listen to the lecture. Even if we don't have a taste for the holy name, we still chant the holy name, understanding it's like medicine, and gradually it will purify, and the ruchi, the taste, will come.
Because
Besides, we know from Srimad Bhagavatam that the child in the womb at around 7 months old, it becomes conscious and actually prays to the Lord. My dear Lord, here I am again in the womb of another mother. I promise you, this time when I get out, I'll take the devotional service and finish up this material. This is the prayer of the baby at 7 months. That was your first prayer. Right? You've said so many prayers in your lifetime now. That was your first prayer. But do you remember? No, because as soon as we took birth, the allurement of the material energy became, we became overwhelmed with the beauty and the hope and the of the false promise of material happiness. We lost it. We forgot the prayer. But the point is that there's, you know, it appears to be an advanced level of consciousness there at 7 months, enough that you can pray to God. I don't know what language you're praying in, but in your heart of hearts, you're calling out to the Lord that this is my, I won't do this, I won't get myself in this situation again. So if you can compose a prayer like that from your heart to the Lord, it's also conceivable that you can hear the message of Godhead as well from the Lord's representative, isn't it? Anyway, it's beyond logic and reasoning how these things work, but we all have experience of the potency of transcendence in our lives to elevate us beyond the modes of nature. So Prahlad Maharaj was very successful in Krishna consciousness at a very early age. And it's to be noted that one of his symptoms of advancement, as we discussed this afternoon at the Sankirtan seminar, was that he developed a natural compassion for the ignorant state of all other living entities in this material world. Prabhupada has given a nice analogy to help us understand how it is that when one becomes Krishna conscious, his heart goes out to all other living beings who are not Krishna conscious. It's a nice analogy. We should try to understand because we also want to come to that exalted stage. Just as becoming freed from unwanted qualities in the heart is one sign that one's making advancement, developing love of God is another sign that one's advancing on the path before we die. Here's another symptom, one more symptom that we've made genuine progress. Our heart bleeds to see the sufferings of others devoid of Krishna consciousness in this world.
того, что оно действительно продвинуто духовно, наряду с избавлением от материальных желаний, развитие желания быть постоянно занятым в каждом виде преданного служения. Один из этих признаков — это развитие очень глубокого сострадания к тем, кто лишен сознания Кришны.
So the analogy that Prabhupada gave, he said, just like a poor man, sometimes someone who's experienced extreme poverty, by destiny — we're not talking here about by devotional service, but by karma, some pious activity in some distant past life — that poor person becomes extremely wealthy. And because, although he's wealthy, because he himself had experienced the misery of poverty, actually, I read some statistics recently that 68% of the world's population goes to bed hungry every night.
68. And the person who lived in poverty знает, что каково это, потому что многие люди живут в бедности, я читал статистику, 68% населения планеты ложится каждый день спать на голодный желудок.
I don't know if any of us have ever really experienced the pangs of hunger.
Я не знаю, многие из нас действительно испытывали страдания голода.
Although in some parts of your country life is simple, I don't know if people, you know, the pain in the stomach is that the muscles and the secretions are not getting the nourishment, so there's some pain there. I don't know if we've ever experienced the pangs of hunger. But over half the world goes to bed hungry at night. In our movement, we can consider ourselves fortunate from all points of view, from the physical to the emotional, intellectual, and spiritual point of view. Krishna is so kind. Yogik shemam bahamyaham. For my devotee, I protect what he has, and I provide whatever is necessary so he can go on with his devotional service. So sometimes a poor person like that, he, due to destiny, he becomes extremely wealthy. And then Prabhupada said, remembering his destitute condition before, he has a natural sympathy for those in the same condition. So he liberally gives his money to people in those conditions. It doesn't mention that every person who's wealthy has a compassion. It says generally those who themselves were suffering and are now rich, they have a natural kind of magnanimous nature to uplift other people. But in Krishna consciousness, everyone is supposed to have that magnanimous nature, because all of us were destitute in this material. You may have been rich, you may have been poor, you may have been famous, you may have been infamous, you may have been sick, health, but it's all bad, this material world. Kaviraj Goswami, Śrīla Kṛṣṇadāsa Kaviraj Goswami says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the concept of good and bad in the material world, it's wrong. It's all bad. Because even if you think it's good, you're in the material world, which means birth, disease, old age, and death. So what can be good about a situation like that? Material life is like, you know, you're enjoying, you know, a big dish of ice cream with caramel topping and whipped cream and nuts and a cherry. And it, whoa! But there's an axe hanging over your head with a very thin string attaching it to the ceiling. Very thin, heavy axe, very thin string right over your head. And you're enjoying your ice cream. Oh, no, 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 no. Would you feel like comfortable eating your ice cream with this heavy axe, sharp as a razor, and one thin little string holding it to the ceiling? But that's material life. Death could come at any moment. Or in the words of the great Vaishnav poet, Narottam Das Thakur, he said, here I am in the middle of a holocaust trying to enjoy myself. So we've come to Krishna consciousness, we have the greatest wealth. Our wealth can buy, quote unquote, or with our wealth we can get prema. Our wealth is our eagerness to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Yes, our wealth, we can get that. Hare Krishna. But even Bill Gates, who's number one in the list of wealthy people in Western society, he can't, for all his money, he can't buy love. Even the Beatles, who had so much wealth in their youth, they had one song. Money can't buy you love. Can't buy you love. Can't buy you love. Money can't buy you love. This is one of the anarthas we have to get out of the heart, is the words to all the old Beatles songs. But with this gift that we've been given, this wealth of Krishna consciousness, we can achieve pure love of God. So because all of us were destitute in material life, whether we were rich or poor, whether we were intelligent, we were all destitute. We all realized our fallen condition. Now, in our situation, we possess this greatest wealth, the holy name. We should have a sense of compassion for everyone who doesn't have Krishna consciousness.
No, теперь, когда у нас есть это великое богатство, благодаря которому мы можем получить любовь к Богу, у нас есть это время, мы должны делиться этими богатствами с теми, кто определен в этом мире.
Not just a few of us, like a few wealthy people feel compassion for poor people. Everyone in Krishna, every Vaishnava should have a bleeding heart. We're all followers of Prahlad Maharaj. He's Acharya. Acharya means one who preaches by example. Every single detail in his life, we're meant to imbibe that in our own lives. That's Acharya. Prabhupada summarized the mood of Prahlad Maharaj by saying that a Vaishnava's despair, if a Vaishnava can feel any despair because he's transcendental, but nevertheless, if there's any despair in his heart, is to see that other living entities are bereft of Krishna consciousness, and his joy is to see other people taking their first steps on the path of Krishna consciousness. That is the highest pleasure in Krishna consciousness.
Отчаяние Вайшнава, такого как Прахлад Махарадж, конечно, он на трансцендентном уровне, и он не чувствует никогда отчаяния, но он может чувствовать отчаяние, только видя, как столько много людей лишено сознания Кришны, и его радость исходит из того, что кто-то получает сознание.
It's so nice that even Rashik Shekhar, he also comes and enjoys it. Rasik Shekhar means Krishna. He's the who enjoys the pleasures of rasa, the mellows of devotional service. Krishna himself comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to relish the distribution of the holy names in Kali Yuga. If it's good enough for God, it should be good enough for us. So there's that famous book by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. It's actually like an essay. What kind of Vaishnava are you?
Yes, очень знаменитое произведение Бхактисиддханта Сарасвати, которое называется «Что ты за Вайшнава?»
Yes, we had. What kind of Vaishnava? Am I a beginner? Am I intermediate? Am I advanced? Well, to be honest, Maharaj, I really don't have any compassion for all those rascals out there. They're so... That's okay, you still preach. Because by preaching, the qualifications come. Remember when I first joined the temple in the early 70s in America, then one devotee, he came about the same time, he said to the temple president, he said, I'm not advanced enough to go out and preach Krishna consciousness. He said that to the temple president. Then a lot... I'll always remember the temple president's answer.
Sorry.
I will always remember the temple president's answer. He said, no, that's how you become advanced by preaching. As we've often stated, along with the instruction of the spiritual master comes the ability to perform it. So no one should be shy in this business of preaching Krishna consciousness.
Поэтому мы не должны стесняться проповедовать сознание Кришны.
Prabhupada said one time, one should never, quoting some traditional wisdom, one should never be shy in taking prasadam or doing business.
So Prabhupada in us also two вещах, не надо стесняться, в двух вещах не надо стесняться, это принимать просад и деньги заработать.
Now some nice prasad comes, oh, I don't know, I'm not qualified. I'm too fallen to eat that prasadam. It's Krishna's mercy. I'm too. Hello. It's mercy. Or if you're too shy in business. Well, this is a really nice product. Would you like? Would you just please buy it? I mean, please just buy it. I'm not going to sell your product. So don't be shy in doing, taking prasadam and doing business. Don't be shy in sharing your good fortune with others. Even if it's a little difficult, awkward, inconvenient, look at the result. Look in the mirror. You're the result of someone's attempt to share their good fortune with others. That day that devotee hadn't gone out, or the Sankirtan party hadn't gone out, or the festival had been cancelled, you may not be sitting here today. So yes, it's hard, it's difficult, we're shy, we're this, you know, we don't feel comfortable associating with the non-devotees. But that's okay. Make the effort anyway, and the result is well worth it. We have to keep preaching, otherwise the spirit of the movement dies. I've said it a million times, I'll say it again. This is a missionary movement. The missionary spirit is with the fire that keeps everything going. And everyone has to accept that responsibility to expand the movement. That's the spiritual principle that gives life and joy and happiness to us, to our family, to the community, to the country, to the world. One time a Sankirtan devotee said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, it's just so hellish out there today. Prabhupada said, if it wasn't for this Krishna conscious movement, you can't imagine how hellish it would be out there. Because directly or indirectly, everyone's getting touched, influenced, affected by the mercy of the Sankirtan movement. Have faith in that. Even our respected president in this country, Mr. Putin, I was told by some senior devotees that when he was offered a glass of wine at a political event, in a humorous way, he said, no, I'm a Krishnaite, I don't drink, I don't take intoxication. Of course, he was just joking, but he knew, and he respected to some degree, you can appreciate. He respected our principles. He knew about Krishna.
Алкоголя, он сказал, Знаете, я люблю, я обычно их устал, пофильтирую. Но тем не менее, это показатель того, что он уважает, уверенно относится к сознанию Кришны и понимает, что это чисто его жизнь.
I'm a Krishnaite. Yes, we'll make you honorary Krishnaite. That is your most important title. And when the difficulties in Kazakhstan were brought to the attention of the Prime Minister of England, Mr. Tony Blair, he sent a personal note to the President of Kazakhstan that he felt that the situation should be handled more in a better way, as how we were being dealt with. He spoke up.
И когда ситуация в Казахстане, где община подверглась нападкам со стороны администрации, дошла до внимания премьер-министра Англии Тони Блэра, он послал лично депешу президенту Казахстана, который говорил о том, что с его точки зрения они были перебиты определенные со стороны, что неправильно было.
And when Nelson Mandela was president of South Africa, he's still one of the five most appreciated and respected leaders in society. When he came to our festival in Durban, we had a big festival for 60,000 children. He was our special guest. He was supposed to spend 20 minutes. He spent 4 hours with us. And when he was leaving, he said to me, Maharaj, this has been the very best day of my life.
И также в свое время президент Нельсон Мандела, который был в свое время руководителем Южной Африки и бесспорно является одним из пяти самых влиятельных личностей там, он, когда его пригласили на специальную программу благотворительную для детей, где разговаривали про 60 тысяч детей, он вместо 20 минут на этой программе провел 4 часа, потом он подошел ко мне и сказал мне, хорошо, это был самый лучший день в моей жизни.
So this, I see this to be equivalent or to fulfill the desire of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, who said, one day we'll see the Krishna consciousness successful when the judges in the high courts are wearing Vaishnav tilak. That's just his way at that time in history, time, place, and circumstance, to say that when the leaders are appreciating our movement and assisting us and helping us in whatever way, that's a sign of advancement. So it's happening. His desire, our Parnam Guru's desire, is being fulfilled. And we see the leaders of society, to greater or lesser degrees, even just something small, but still they're taking note of this movement, and that is something significant. So how does that all happen? When little, old, you and me, we play our humble part in helping to spread the Sankirtan movement. We say in English, many hands make small work. It's difficult to preach, we have good opposition, but like a hard stone, sometimes you see in underground caverns and caves, there's a stone, there's a hole right through it. The water, you know, hundreds of thousands, millions of years ago, a little drip of water came and splashed off, and it's splashed in the same place. You come back 10,000 years later, and the water wore a hole right through the rock.
Это происходит, кажется, незаметно, но если вода капает на одно и то же место в скале, вроде бы она никаких следов не оставляет на камне, но вернитесь через 10 тысяч лет, и вы увидите, что вся скала насквозь пробита водой.
So in the same way, if we keep making our effort in our own little insignificant way, so-called insignificant, then we'll see these changes in society and we'll be counted as part of this great historical movement. Who will note that we are part of this historical movement? The people who write, you know, the journalists in the newspapers, or the guys who write the magazine articles, or no, will be noticed by Guru and Krishna. And we'll be blessed by them, because this type of activity, sharing our good fortune, as Prahlad Maharaj is demonstrating here in this chapter, this is very dear to our acharyas. They have their nitya lila, their eternal pastimes with the Lord in the spiritual world. They come here, what do? The same lilas? No. They don't stay in Vrindavan making sandalwood pastes and stringing garlands for the deity and making, you know, no. They're out like you and me preaching Krishna consciousness. This is what liberated souls do when they come to this world. You help them in their mission. Oh, they'll be so pleased with you. They'll shower you with blessings. You look at the scale. 1/4 of your way through life, 50%, 3/4. Hey, I'm only on lap 2. I'm supposed to be on lap 16. Oh, what am I going to do? Preach. This morning we noted this fulgent brahmachari, ideal paka, ishkan devotee, shaved head, tilak, saffron, sitting straight, books in his hands. You know, yes, he's the preacher. Yeah, yes, but you also, babushka, you also, I said, didn't I? Babushka can make lots of cookies, offer them to the deity, and go distribute them to the neighborhood children. She's also preaching. Just get out of the house and walk around, and people will do something for you, and then they get agyasukriti. They get unknowing benefit by, you know, helping you across the road, or, you know, whatever, filling up your car with petrol. I have a bad leg. Oh, okay, I'll do it, sir. Agyasukriti. Just get out and don't just walk down the street. Don't be a couch potato at home. Give people an opportunity to do something for you, and then they'll make some spiritual advancement. Everyone can preach in Krishna consciousness. I'll just finish with a short story to illustrate that. One time I was in Paris, France, and I was doing Sankirtan in the offices. There's a famous street called Champs-Élysées, and it's a very important street, and no devotee had ever broken through how to get in the offices in the Champs-Élysées. Well, I figured it out eventually that, you know, you just go to the back of the building and where the cars go underneath to park in that building, you sneak in behind the car as it goes in, the garage door opens, you go in, you're running a little behind the car like that, boom, the door slams, you hide behind something, and then as the person who had the proper key to get in there goes and unlocks the door, then you go by that door and he goes in, and then you're in. You go and you push the elevator, you go to floor 13. And you walk out, there's 20 secretaries, and you say, "Hi, everybody! I'm from America. I've just come back from India, and I have all these nice books. How many of you would like to look? And I also have incense, too." It worked every time. And it helped that I didn't speak much French because, you know, they'd say something, I'd go, they have a little sympathy. And just so they'd notice me, I had a fresh shaved head every morning, big, like almost Ramanuja style tilak. I take the garland from Radha Parasishwara, and I had, you know, silk on, and, you know, my pointed shoes and my flashy bag. And so I was one day, I was on floor 13, and, you know, the secretaries are coming, buying packs and packs of incense, and a few Bhagavad Gitas were going out, and suddenly the elevator doors open, and there's the chief of security. He started screaming at me in very bad French. French has some very bad words. The first words I learned, not learned, but understood. So he said, "What are you doing? Get out of here." I said, "Just have to take this lady's money and change the bill and give her the book and then I'll be gone." He didn't want to hear that. "You get out now." I said, "No, I have to change the money." So he started running towards me. I picked up my stuff, grabbed everything. I saw he was chasing me around the office, around the desks. And I jump over one desk, and he'd jump over. And finally, I kind of tricked him. He was a big old fat guy. I was just a kid, like 22. I ran into the elevator. He started running towards the open doors. I pushed the button. That was the slowest elevator ever to doors to close. It seemed like it would never end. Boom! And it caught his foot. I pushed the open button, he fell back on the ground, and I pushed the close button, and I went to floor number 10. Why give up when you're ahead? So he went, it's a true story. So he went, he thought I was going to go down and run out the building. So he went all the way down to reception. And then he must have come up, you know, one, two, three. I had about 45 minutes on the next floor. I was selling almost all my books, almost all my incense. I was in ecstasy. And like the last sale, the elevator doors opened. Ah, c'est vous! He came running, and I said, excuse me, ma'am, I had to pack my stuff. And we're running around the office again. But because he was kind of big and fat, he couldn't catch up with him. Boom! And then I went down the stairs. And I went down, I think 10, I went down to about 7 or something. So he went 9, 8, and when he came into 7, I was literally selling my last Bhagavad Gita on the floor, the 7th floor with the second. He was like, by this time he was pulling his hair out. I was in ecstasy. All my books and almost all my incense were gone. But this time the door opened and he was quiet. And I was selling something and all of a sudden, my back. He's a big guy. He just lifted me up like this, carried me and threw me in the elevator. And they put his foot on me like that, kept me down. And we went down to the reception, the bottom floor.
Я вначале отправился на этот 10-й этаж, а он подумал, что я уже вниз поеду, поэтому он спустился до самого приема, узнал, что я так и не выходил, и он пошел меня искать с первого на второй, потом на третий, и пока он дошел до 10-го этажа, я там уже прилично книги благовония распространял, был в полном экстазе, и потом вдруг увидел, что дверь открывается, и он появляется из двери лифта, и он начал кричать, опять ты здесь, он погнался за мной, опять мы начали бегать вокруг столов. На этот раз я по лестнице от него убежал до 7-го этажа, и он опять меня поехал искать от 1-го до 7-го этажа, и пока он меня нашел, я уже почти все книги распространял. Фактически уже последнюю книгу я распространял, когда он, наконец, нашел меня, но на этот раз он уже не стал кричать, он незаметно подкрался, схватил меня сзади, затащил в лифт, кинул на пол лифта и прижал ногой, сказал, ну все, ты попался.
Then he dragged me out of the elevator over to the reception desk and he threw me on the ground and he said something and I looked up the secretary. I said, what did he say? He said, you're dead man. I had for distributing books, I'm a dead man.
Я спросил у секретаря, что он говорит, и секретарь сказал, он сказал, что ты мертвец. Я сказал, как это так? Я же всего лишь книжки распространял. Причем ты мертвец?
So he called the police.
Он вызвал полицию.
And because he'd been embarrassed, because he'd been chasing me all over the building, he made a big thing about it, like he was protecting everybody and saving everybody, and he had people come down from the other floors and bear witness, yes, this was the boy, like this, and he had 20-30 people there and calling the police, I have a criminal broke into the building stealing money, and I heard like 3 cop cars come and pull up at the door. Oh my God.
Разрекламировал меня как большой. большого преступника, свидетелей позвал со всех этажей, чтобы они меня опознавали. Позвонил в полицию, сказал, что тут вот бандит проник, денег наворовал у всех. И поэтому за мной приехало целых три полицейских машины.
So I felt a little uncomfortable sitting on the ground, so I decided to stand up. And when I stood up, he took a big swing. But I ducked. He just grazed the top of my head, but I lost my balance and fell down. Then he sat on me.
He sat on you.
Yeah. That was the hard part, because he's a big, fat guy.
Когда полиция уже приближалась, я решил встать. И когда я вставал, он решил меня ударом сбить с ног и свой кулак занес. И когда кулак направлялся в мою голову, я, так сказать, голову убрал. Он только скользь попал мне по голове, но я потерял равновесие, упал. И он на меня сел. И это было тяжеловато, потому что это был большой, жирный мужик.
So then he picked me up and he put my hands, my arm behind my back and put her arm like this.
И он решил схватить, закрутил мне руку за спину и схватил меня за горло.
And then the police came in.
It's
about 15 policemen. And they were angry. Because he'd really got them hyped up on the phone. They were really angry. So that actually the chief of the local police station was the first one to come in. He saw the situation, he paused for a moment, he looked, he stared at me, and then he got really angry. He made a, oh, stop, and flipped me over and put handcuffs and they picked me up by my 2 feet and my hands and carried me out like an animal. And the chief of security says, yeah, you make sure that he gets, you know, 3, 4, 6 months in jail and never come back here again. And the police chief said, yeah, don't worry. I'll make sure that boy does 1 year in jail. Trespassing, stealing money, scaring the people. So then they throw me in the back of this like wagon truck, you know, and the chief police, he's there and the driver and the field of cops, and then they race off and there's 4 police cars, there's sirens, like with little old me in my book bag, empty book bag. And then, all of a sudden, the convoy pulls over to the side of the road, about 2 kilometers away from the building. And I hear the police chief, he gets out of the car, and he tells all the other cars, or the 3 or 4 cars, to go ahead to the police station. He's just going to stay there for a minute. So the cars race off. They race off, and then, you know, I think, oh my God, what's he going to do to me? So he comes around the back, he opens up the door, and he looks at me again. And he's looking at me, and I think, oh my God, is he going to kill me, or what's he going to do? So he tells the driver to go back in the front and sit there and wait for him. So then he comes and he unlocks the handcuffs. And he picks up my things, which had been scattered around the back of the van. He puts them in my bag, including the money. Then he lifts me up and he helps me out of the van. And he says, you're free to go. And I'm like, I'm what? He says, you're free to go. He said, I really appreciate the work you're doing. Wait a minute. Hold on. He said, you don't remember me? And I looked at him and I said, well, because in those days, a lot of the French wore mustaches, so, you know, they looked the same. So I said, no, sir. He said, no, last week, you came to my house. You were doing the neighborhood. You were going door to door with your Bhagavad Gita. And you came to my house, and my wife answered the door and invited you in. And I came downstairs, and we had a little talk. I went, oh, yeah. He said, I gave you a nice donation for that Bhagavad Gita, and I'm enjoying reading that book. He said, it's a little hard to understand, he said, but I'm trying. He said, something like, I'm getting the point. So he said, you know, really, again, I appreciate the work you're doing. Just keep it up, you know. I said, but you didn't tell me you were the police chief. He said, well, I have to, you know, tell everybody I'm the police chief. You came to my house, you were my guest in my house, and I bought the book. So now go, quickly go. He put out his hand and he said, good luck, young man. For me, it was worth the whole ordeal just to see the chief of police from his heart really express some appreciation for the work that we're doing and, you know, to say good luck, young man. That it was worth, I'd do it all over again just for that. So don't deny yourself this golden opportunity of going out and experiencing the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. There's so many stories like that, and there'll be so many stories like that in the future. So my point was, I was just out there, and that man did devotional service, Agyat Sukriti. He also bought a book, but he also did Agyat Sukriti. So if you're just out there, and people assist you in some way, because you're a devotee, and if you're doing devotional service, they get some benefit. And just the conclusion to the story is that I walked back the 2 kilometers to the Champs-Élysées. I dusted myself off and put my bag on, I walked. And then when I got to the Champs-Élysées, I walked past the building where the security guy was standing, you know, inside looking out the window. And when I walked by him, I went, and he became so angry. And he came running out to the front of the door, but when he realized he couldn't attack an innocent pedestrian on the street, he just stood there, and I started dancing down the street. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Gantara Shrimad Bhagavatam ki. Shri Prahlad Maharaj ki. Shri Prabhupada ki. Shri Krishna Sankirtan Yajna ki. Gopi Manande. Shvashi Bobo Shoy.
Shri Maharaj ki.